Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
An F1 team that's only appeared for one season, came together late at the start of the year, was surrounded by controversy from its very first race weekend, and still holds a place in a lot of people's hearts even years later, to the extent that there's now been a documentary made all about their story. No, we're not talking about the glitzy Braun GP documentary on Disney Plus. For starters, that car was missing a couple of cylinders for us here at Bring Back V10s. We're here to talk about a documentary that was recently released that tells a story at the opposite end of the success spectrum. I can't believe I'm saying this, but yes, there really has been a proper documentary made all about one of F1's worst ever teams, Andrea Moda. The show hasn't enjoyed quite the fanfare of the Braun story, and it doesn't feature a Hollywood host like Keanu Reeves, but it is a very thorough retelling of Andrea Moda's infamous and downright bizarre F1 journey. So we consider that more than worthy of a Bring Back V10's bonus episode exclusively for the Race Members Club. If you're listening to this in our main feed, you'll get a taster of the start of the episode, and at some point we'll fade you out and you'll hear my plug for why you should join our ever-expanding members club to hear the full episode and get much more bonus content from Bring Back V10s and the race. If we've convinced you already, then look for the link in the description of this episode to sign up. If not, then stick around until the end of this preview and you'll hear a bit more about what we have to offer. Of course, we couldn't discuss one of F1's worst backmarkers of all time without our resident king of pre-qualifying, so Ed Straw is here with me, Glenn Freeman, to discuss the Andrea Moda story. Ed, there's no traditional opening question this time, of course, but tell me, what was your reaction when I messaged you recently to tell you that this documentary existed?
Well, a small part of me was a bit disappointed that someone had got to it first, because I quite like the idea of doing something like this, but I'd probably have never got round to it. So then that quickly gave way to absolute delight that it was going to happen, and just some apprehension to hope that it was done well and was actually reflecting the story well and offering something rather than just retelling the Wikipedia version of it, which is something that could happen. But as I think we'll get on to, those fears were quite quickly allayed.
Yeah, those of you who aren't aware of the show we're talking about are probably screaming at us to say, where can you find this masterpiece? In recent weeks, it's been available to rent on Vimeo's on-demand service. So we'll include a link in the description of this episode so you can go and look for that. And in case there's any other news on how and where to watch this, I'd recommend following their Instagram account, which is Andrea Moda Formula F1. That's how I found out about the show in the first place and learned of the release on Vimeo. If all of this sounds like an advert, it isn't. We're not being paid to plug this, and Ed and I both paid to watch it ourselves. We weren't given free review codes or anything like that. So you can rest assured that you're going to get an honest appraisal of the show. We won't give away any of the biggest spoilers around some of the really cool revelations that are in the documentary. But Ed, I think you can kick us off. Let's just pick something that you like or that struck you about the show. What stood out to you?
Well, I think the key thing always with this sort of thing is what footage you've got, because it's a 3-episode documentary. They're all 40 to 45 minutes, I think. So there's a lot to fill. So you need material from the time. And obviously, F1's cameras weren't that often trained on Andrea Moda. So it was important to have something. And there is a lot of contemporary footage that's very well used that really adds to it. There's some stuff in there that I didn't know about at all, had no idea about, and there's documentary proof of some of the slightly, what might sound like slightly tall stories otherwise, including one bit which I imagine we may reference involving driving F1 cars in places that you would not expect them to be driven. So, yeah, it's the footage. They've obviously been able to get stuff that was shot by people associated with the team from the time. And that gels very nicely with all the modern interviews they've got. So they've got the key building blocks, I think, for a good documentary, because it'd be very easy with this to not be able to make it work if you didn't have all of that material and you're dependent on what people did 30 years ago by chance and still being able to find it in order for that. But there's no concerns about that material. They've got the visual material from the time that nobody will have seen before to really make this work.
Yeah, it gives it a really authentic feel. They did. There is some proper F1 shot footage of the limited amount of time the cars spent on track. And they said one of the reasons they've released it, because I think it was made for, you know, film festivals and that sort of thing. One of the reasons they've released it for a fee was to try and reclaim some of the money they had to spend to get the footage from FOM. But yeah, there's loads of stuff. Really, it appears from people who were like hangers-on of the team or went to races and filmed bits and pieces behind the scenes. I think they had a friend of team boss Andrea Sassetti took a video camera to Monaco. So Monaco is obviously a huge part of the story because that's where they qualified for a race. And there's loads of extra footage, including of other teams. This guy went around other parts of the paddock and filmed, you know, I think that was frowned upon by Bernie Eccleston, I'd imagine, but Bernie's not around and it really adds to the charm, I think, of the documentary.
There's one really good bit that they've done some great research with. They mention Andrea Sassetti, the famous Andrea Moda team boss, visiting some Grand Prix in 91. And they find a shot of him incidentally walking behind Thierry Boutsen while Boutsen's being interviewed. I presume it's an FOM interview of some sort in 91. And they put a little circle around. There he is in the background. And that really illustrates attention to detail to me, because that tells me they've gone through it looking for it in the hope of capturing him. And I imagine when whoever found that bit of material, it's only up on screen for a few seconds, but it just adds so much. Here he is incidentally in the background the year before. Those little details I really love, and those elevate a documentary like this, because it's very easy to say, oh yeah, he went to some races, but no, there he is walking behind Thierry Boutsen in his splendid hair.
Yeah, I think that tells you a couple of things. It tells you just the lengths they've gone to. Like, we're going to give you a taste of how much depth we think they've gone into. This is a serious project. Like I say, it's not got the fanfare of some of the other, you know, F1 documentaries that we get at the moment, but this is a proper project, primarily in Italian, so most of it's subtitled for obvious reasons, but that doesn't really detract from it. I think you get some authenticity from that. But I did like the fact that they found him at a race the year before to back that story up, because he's such a mysterious character, and some of that mystique actually gets taken away by this documentary in a good way. You learn a lot more about the man. It would have been very easy to say, oh yeah, he was around in 91 and then he came in and did this, rather than I think there's a myth almost that he kind of came from nowhere, bought some cars, turned up, tried to chance his arm, and then disappeared again. That you get a lot more of his backstory, so you learn about how he genuinely built up his fashion label. It wasn't some, as far as I can tell, big scam, and then he's gone into F1 to continue the scam or anything like that. Like they taught you through that story. And you mentioned one of the interesting things he did before he got to F1. I think it's okay for us to give this one away. The fact that he acquired a Coloni car long before he got involved with buying the assets of the team, and drove it around on the streets.
Yeah, it almost suggests at one point that he was trying to commute to work in it. Driving it around an industrial estate on a little makeshift circuit, which is quite fun. And I think that does capture something that's very useful to understand about Sassetti, in that I think it convinced me that his enthusiasm for motorsport was genuine.
Yes.
Which I think is important. And that genuine enthusiasm, I think, is quite important for, should we say, it working in this documentary, the fairly favourable portrayal, should we say, of what Sassetti's doing. And I think there is an element to which that's one of the limitations of the documentary, is it is very favourable to him, and I think he's a mixed bag. But equally, it is his story, so that's the tale that's being told in this one. But yeah, that footage is great, and you later learn that basically those original Colony cars that they had, because they had the Colony cars and the Simtek-built cars, the real Andrea Motors, once they realised they couldn't run the Colonies, and he claimed he basically destroyed... I think he had two Colonies. He claims he destroyed them just in general testing, because he'd go out and test the cars on real circuits as well later. There's even some great footage of one thing going very badly wrong for him on one of those tests as well. So I didn't know he did that.
No.
So that's an example of the kind of stuff. We won't give it all away, but there's loads of little details through this that you're like, oh, I had no idea of that, which is brilliant, because that's what you want from a documentary like this, to add... to the knowledge and to fill in gaps and give you a much more rounded picture of this story.
Yeah, and I think that's what this does. Yeah, we did a long Andrea Motor episode a few series back. We had Perry McCarthy on. It's one of our most popular episodes. Perry's in the documentary. I think he's the only English-speaking voice in it, actually. I think they answer a few questions that were left unanswered at the end of our episode. And yeah, things like knowing that he kept the Colonies and... continued driving them for quite a few years afterwards. There's some video camera footage where there's a date in the corner of, like, he's driving it around Misano in 1995. Nobody in F1 had any idea he was still doing this, because it was him and his mates basically doing it for fun. And yeah, that footage is very amusing. We won't give away too much of what happens, but they took the cars to like local events, and you know, it was like a showpiece, and sometimes they were doing demo runs and stuff. All these little bits that were part of the story that we didn't know. And I think it's like you've said, that's what this show has to do. It can't just be retelling the story that people like us have already told and that people think they already know.
Yeah, and it's got nice footage. It's got Tamburini running in the Bologna Motor Show footage as well, which is the kind of first appearance of Andrea Moda, if you like. So little things like that really do add to the enjoyment as well, that some of this stuff you can find on YouTube, but only a very tiny percentage of it. So yeah, this is for anyone who's interested in Andrea Moda, who's probably watched loads of footage on YouTube, such as it is, this is vastly beyond that. There's so much more in there that they've managed to make great use of. And yeah, you're still seeing new stuff in the third episode. It's not like they're constantly recycling it. There's a few bits where they have to reuse it just by necessity. I think there only seems to be about one bit of footage of Sassetti with Bernie Eccleston that crops up a few times. But even
I'm
that,
amazed one piece exists. Like, well, they actually sat next to him in a team manager's meeting.
Well, yeah, giving him the time of day. So, I like that element of it very much.
You mentioned about the fact that maybe this is a slightly favourable portrayal for them. We'll get into that in a bit more detail. But I will say, in their defence, I think every documentary that's about a subject, when that subject matter is involved, that happens. You know, there are people who know a lot more than I do about basketball who will tell me that that's exactly what happened with Michael Jordan and The Last Dance. You know, it's very much his version of events, his side of the story. And I think that's okay, because not everything is addressed, but quite a lot is addressed. And as well as learning more about Sassetti's backstory, I felt that we got a better idea of the character, because he's this totally mysterious guy in a leather jacket. That's his F1 portrayal. And you don't know, was he ignorant? Was he arrogant? You know, why did he do it the way he did it? You get some idea of that. He talks about his motivation for getting in the first place. And there are some admissions of mistakes that he now knows that he made, and I was quite happy to see that. I wouldn't have wanted this to come off as a total we should have been great, or we did everything by the book and F1 just treated us badly. There's a bit of that, but there's still him saying things like, you know, he was too young or naive and he made the odd mistake. I liked all of that sort of stuff. There was a quote that I took down where he said, "The problem was, this happened when I was still too young and swaggering. And when you're that young, you make many mistakes." So,
although even that was a little bit caveated by what he said, because a couple of times he says things like that and you say, oh, some self-awareness. Mm. But then it's always that little bit at the end that's just, it's almost more about, oh, I underestimated how much they were all out to get me.
Yeah.
Because it's funny that they're kind of presented as great disruptors of Formula One. in terms of their approach. No, they didn't like us. And it's like, well, yes, but if you're going to be a disruptor, a successful disruptor, you don't just have to be disruptive and not do it quite right. You actually have to be successful. So
you've got to be good at some point.
Yeah, yeah. So I think there's a... There is a degree of generosity, but like you say, you're choosing the story you want to tell, and this is the Sassetti side of the story first and foremost, albeit with an enormous amount of other voices who are involved. Pretty much mostly, I would say, they're Sassetti aligned people, so a lot of the mechanics he got in. But there are people who are perhaps slightly less so. Alex Caffey, one of the original Moda drivers, he's really amusing.
He's a proper underdog star of this. He comes off as totally charming.
Yeah, massively charming, and he is perfectly pitched in Riley amused by the whole thing, if you yeah. see what I mean.
He's not bitter at all, which is really cool. That's it for those of you listening in the main Bring Back V10s feed. We hope you enjoyed that taster. And if you want to hear the rest of the episode, check out the link in the description to sign up to the Race Members Club. We've recently started increasing how much bonus content we offer to our members. And since the last series of Bring Back V10s finished, we've had a 2-hour special answering questions from our members, another half an hour with Gary Anderson doing the same, plus lots of uncut interviews from previous episodes, including Mario Andretti on his son Michael's 1993 F1 season with McLaren. American journalist Kurt Cavin recalls what it was like covering Nigel Mansell in IndyCar, and an epic 1 hour and 20 minute bonus episode with all the uncut interviews we did with insiders who were involved when Damon Hill was dropped by Williams at the end of 1996. We're also going to run a new series where we revisit a classic Bring Back V10s era season with a bite-sized episode on each race, which is going to be a lot of fun, and we hope you'll want to come back on a journey through a whole season of races with us in a slightly different style to our main episodes. There's also bonus content around present day racing, including much more from Ed and Gary as they take questions from our members about what's going on in the world of F1 at the moment. So if any of that sounds like your thing and you want to hear the rest of our chat about Andrea Moda, of course, then check out the Race Members Club, because we'd love to have you.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.